you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, January 8th, 2021. Happy New Year. Now, how long do we keep saying Happy New Year? Do we get to say it for another week or so, or when does it become old? Well, I'm not sure, but Happy New Year, and I hope your 2021 is certainly different than 2020. And let's be those agents of God's kingdom, bringing hope and encouragement and blessing to those around us. It's really easy to moan, to gripe, to complain, and to get caught up in all the media spin and get real partisan or divisive, depending on who you follow or what you think should happen or shouldn't happen. But let's, as Christ followers, allow his fragrance to permeate through us, bringing hope and blessing to a hurting world. I don't know about you, but let's be about that today. Well, usually on Fridays, except during the Christmas break, I generally call up Pastor Jason Schiffo, who's the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet, but he and his family have COVID-19, and so he's really under the weather, fatigued, achy, coughing, and not feeling very well. So we're giving him the day off, and because our studio at Lincoln Square, we have a glitch with the computer that works with the mixer board and facilitates all the recordings and broadcasts and such, I'm here at the home studio, and so what I'm going to air is the launching of our study into the book of James from July 10th of 2020, 6 months ago, and I looked at it, and we've covered about 33 verses, which means on the various Fridays Jason and I have gone through this book together, we've covered about a verse or a verse and a half a week. So next week, Lord willing, we'll start right up at around James chapter 2, verse 5 or verse 8. So like what we did with Memorization Monday earlier this week on Monday and Tuesday, relaunching it for 2021, we're going to relaunch our study in the book of James and why we're doing it. And so here's how that conversation went. And Jason, I'm kind of excited. We referenced it last week that we would maybe be launching into a study or an overview of the book of James in the coming weeks, that at least part or a portion or maybe the whole program will be devoted to us going through the book of James, talking about it, finding points of application. In fact, James is beloved by many people. There's so many different verses that people memorize or think about. In fact, yesterday in my small group, Mark Kessler brought up that famous verse, you know, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And that was something that we all then talked about. Yeah, why did God give us two ears and just one mouth, you know, and the importance of listening and such. And there's just so many other different verses, I'm sure, that'll come out in the coming days. But thank you for joining me, Pastor Jason Schiffo. We're still practicing our social distancing. I think you're in your home, right? Is that where I've called?
Yep. Sitting at my desk.
Okay, you're sitting at your desk, and we'll talk about maybe a little overview of the book of James, but I want to give a quick shout-out for a couple new friends that I met yesterday in Leroy, Barb Whiteman. She's like, I think, the director, and she's involved with the Leroy Senior Center. It's called Living Well United. And they're allowing our Prime Life Times paper to be available for all the seniors there. And then Wes Hickman, he's the manager of the IGA in Leroy, and he welcomed our papers, so they're available now in Leroy at the IGA and the Living Well United Senior Center. So that was kind of great to meet up with them and continue to expand the imprint that this beloved paper has throughout East Central Illinois, now into Central Illinois, and covering hopefully even further west, so that the whole middle part of our state will have access to this great paper. So little shout out for those two locations, and we'll see how God continues to expand the ministry work done through the Prime Life Times. So on this Friday, Pastor Jason Schiffo, who's the pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, carves out time each and every week to join us. And usually the focus is the Bible. It's God's Word. It's finding points of application. It's the instruction manual God has created. It's His tool or His means to communicate truth, to give us insight, to live godly lives, to know about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn about redemption. The Bible is just filled with practical things and spiritual things to help us know God better and to live a healthy and a full life here on earth, anticipating that glorious time when we'll be with Him in heaven. But we love to talk about God's Word, Jason. It's something that's a driving force behind your ministry and your work at the Community Evangelical Free Church. And thank you, God, your work through Great News Media and the various broadcasts where you love to divide it and share it. How about that for an introduction?
That's a heck of an introduction there. So we talked about doing an overview of the book of James. But what I really want to do is not just an overview, but talk about why we should read the book of James. I mean, why is it important? You know, I can give us all the history, and we could talk about James as the brother of Jesus and all that stuff, but I'll be honest with you. The history of the book of James, why it was written, when it was written, how it was written, Jesus's brother James, all of that stuff is not going to help us desire to read the book of James. And so the real question should be, why should we desire to study the book of James, to read the book of James, and to do the book of James? Now, why do I say do the book of James? Because in the book of James, James cautions us against being hearers of the word who don't do the word. He actually says, be doers of the word, not just hearers, lest you deceive yourself, lest you say, I'm a Christian, but I don't really do any of that Christian stuff. I just go to church. And so therefore I must be Christian. And some people would hear me say that and they would say, wait a second, that's crazy. I mean, is that really true? I mean, is there people who just say I'm a Christian because they go to church? That happens every day. Mm-hmm. There are people, you know, we kind of live in a time when people believe because they go to a building on Sunday morning and they attend an hour long or hour and a half long service that they're Christians. And it's not even a shocking thing. In fact, we saw it in recent time, right? When the church building closed, then there were many Christians who didn't know what to do during the time of quarantine. They're like, wait a second, how am I a Christian if I don't get to go to the church? Because that's what I do. You know, I'm a construction worker because I go to the construction site. You know, I'm this because I do that. I'm a basketball player because I go to the basketball court and I play basketball. You know, we kind of are defined by the things that we do. But without the ability to be able to go to the church, we didn't know what to be able to do with ourselves. And so James cautions us, right? Because James says, listen, it's not just about the gathering together. In fact, when you read the New Testament, you don't find anything in the New Testament that is even remotely close to, I go to church, therefore I'm a Christian. I mean, could you imagine Peter and Paul talking to each other and saying, hey, Peter, where do you go to church? You know, and Peter saying, oh, man, I go to that new church down the road. They have great music and they have a really cool children's program. And, you know, Paul saying, cool, man, I can't wait to check that out next Sunday because, you know, I'm not getting a lot out of my church. You know, and Peter saying, well, you know what, that's cool. I'd love for you to come, but I won't be there next Sunday because Simeon has a soccer game. So we're going to go there. Oh, man, I can't believe it. Oh, you know, do they have a singles ministry? Oh, you bet they do. You don't hear any of that in the New Testament. You don't hear that all. You know why? Because the writers of the New Testament refuse to dumb down the sacred mystery of the church into a one-hour service each week. They refused to do that. In fact, the writers of the New Testament believed that we're called to live as the church. And that's why James says, don't just be hearers of the word. The Sunday morning person who gathers and just hears the word, be doers of the word, which means that what you hear, you take out and you do, you live it. See, the book of James is a book about Christian living. It's a book about how we live as Christians, because this thing that we believe about Jesus isn't something that we simply hear on a Sunday morning and we go, man, that was so good. You're killing it. I can't wait till next Sunday morning. It's something that we go out and we do because we believe it. And if we don't do it, then it says something about what we believe. That's why James says that we're deceived. You're deceived if you believe you're a Christian, and the only time that you practice being a Christian is when you gather together with other Christians in a building on Sunday morning. The proof of being a Christian is when you walk through the difficult places in lives declaring who Jesus is beyond that 1 hour on a Sunday morning. In fact, it's the proof of why you even gather on that Sunday morning for that 1 hour. And so one of my favorite verses, and it's really a simple verse, because I think in this day right now where there's so many things going on, I mean, you turn the TV on and it's just a deluge of things. It's overwhelming. There's so much messaging going on right now. There's so much happening that we don't need more things to burden us and overwhelm us. And so I want to keep this very simple for us as we're listening to this right now. Paul writes in Philippians and says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. See, the book of James is all about Christian living, and Paul is making a statement about Christian living. He says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And what Paul is saying is the direction of your life says a whole lot about your life. You know, if the direction of your life, if the purpose of your life, the way you are living is wrong, then the purpose and direction of your life will be wrong. If the purpose and direction of your life is vague, if it's fuzzy, then the purpose and direction of your life will be vague and fuzzy. And as Christians, the way that we live our life and who we live our life for should not be fuzzy, because our lives serve as the gospel message. I mean, we come and we give the gospel message, but what's the old saying say? The first Bible that somebody will read is you. Mm-hmm. The first words of God that they will hear or that they will see will be the way you live out the words of God. That's why Jesus says the proof of your believing will be that you love people. It'll prove to people that you're his disciples if you love people. And so if our direction, if our purpose, if our living is fuzzy, if it lacks clarity, then it will be fuzzy and lack clarity. And Paul doesn't lack clarity, does he? He says to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's so simple. Paul, what's your mission statement? To live is Christ, to live for Christ, to live with Christ ever in front of me, to live as though I believe with all of my heart that Christ is living and active, that he did exactly what he said he would do, what he said he was going to do, and he is still at work actively through me by his Spirit, which he promised to send. And so every one of us as Christians, our aim should be able to truthfully say to the world through our lives, to live is Christ. And if you're listening to this right now, I just want to ask you, can you truthfully say that? You know, this is a question that even when I think about it now, I have to ask myself. You know, am I, after this time with you, Mark, am I going to go out into the world and go through the rest of my day and do so in such a way that it says that I believe who Jesus is? And not just that I know the words of Christ, but that I know them in such a way that they shape my life, that I actually live out of them. And this is where we stumble. And the reason why we stumble here is because this means we actually have to examine the quality of our life. And that's difficult because all of us want to say, I'm right. All of us want to say, I'm doing the right things. You know, the root of pride begins in us. And so often what happens is we go, I'm right, the world's wrong. But listen, sometimes we're not always right. And sometimes our reaction to the world is definitely wrong. You know what? One of the things when I think about living for Jesus that's the most difficult is how I react to the things around me. And James has a lot to say about that in his book, as we're going to find as we go verse by verse. But how I react to the world around me. Do I get frustrated easily? Do I get angry? You know, I love when the biggest political conversation that happens in the Gospels is when they come up to Jesus and they say, you know, hey, we got this coin here. And what do you think about this coin? You know, whose image is on this coin? And Jesus' answer to the whole political discussion is give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. And I think that when Jesus says that, what Jesus is saying is, and then we're going to find out where your heart is. Are you living for Caesar or are you living for God? Are you willing to give whatever Caesar wants to Caesar because you don't want anything about Caesar to stand in the way of you living for God? Again, Jesus is making a statement about how we live. And he's asking people, and Jesus constantly asks people to examine their own hearts, to examine their own lives, and to examine how they're living. Because as the followers of God, how we live says so much about who God is to the world. And we're supposed to be those who have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, If we have this engine of divinity inside of us, shouldn't we be living differently? I would say that we should. So we need to examine our lives before the Lord. And this is so that we can bring our purpose into focus.
You know, it's so funny, Jason. It's like you were there, but you weren't there yesterday in our men's group. I think the first 45, 50 minutes we were talking about current affairs and how do we respond and what's the appropriate way and how do you share without being offensive, but how do you communicate different things. And it all boiled down to after about 45 minutes we were thinking, what points of application? How can we put this into our lives? And it's like you're doing the overview of our conversation, like looking at James and living for Christ and making a difference because of who we are in Christ, not trying to influence everyone else or have the right words or the expressions or the strategy, but to be grounded and rooted in the Word because we had spent time with God, and hopefully our witness will be the outflow of the Holy Spirit giving us wisdom, insight, a listening ear. And it's like, wow, I can't wait to share this program with my brothers, because Darwin Boston and Mark Kessler, Tom Brown, Steve Carmichael, it was like half of our group meeting yesterday, but we kept saying, well, how can we impact the world? How can we make a difference? And then we finally just said, we just got to allow God to work in us. We need to live for Him, period. And if the outflow of that causes change or a reaction in others to see Christ in us, that would be at least a great starting point.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I mean, listen, living for Christ is the reason that Jesus came into the world, isn't it? He came that we might have life and life abundantly, John 10:10. And so it's through Him that we experience the abundance of life. We experience the beauty of life. You know, it's only through Him that we look out into the world like this beautiful morning and we say, my gosh, look at that sunshine. And we know that that sunshine isn't just the product of, you know, science or, you know, whatever. We look at that sunshine and we go, that is the product of something that God did. You know, that the Bible says that all of creation declares the glory of God. And so we go out into the world and we see the world differently than people who don't know God see the world. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we do as we love them is that we show them the beauty of that. And what more in this time, you know, that we need is to show people that there is still beauty in the world. I mean, as broken as the world seems right now, as difficult as the world seems right now, I don't know anybody who doesn't desire right now to still see beauty, to see something wonderful at work. And God is at work. The world is still can be a wonderful place. We can still choose to see that beauty. We don't have to choose to just see division and frustration and all the things that just, you know, irritate us. We need to realize that Jesus came into the world to give us life and life abundantly. He came so that we could truly be alive to God, so that God could be our passion and God could be our joy. Mm-hmm. You know, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Just think about those words. Yeah. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It means I have died to the old ways that I react to things, to the old ways that I live, to the ways that seem to lead towards darkness. Mm-hmm. Instead, I no longer live to that, but I live to Christ who lives in me. And he says, the life I live in the body, which means in the body, in this place. It's not kind of, some kind of, you know, like existential kind of thing. You're like, ooh, I'm not longer here. I float above all the problems. No, he's saying I live in the body. I'm in the midst of all this, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. What if throughout your day you go, you know what? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. What if that was your mantra? Because you know what I think is really lacking in Christian living today is devotion. And I don't mean devotion like devotionals, you know, like we get up and we read our Bible verse and we check the box and we say, man, you know, I'm totally killing it following Jesus because I just read, you know, this chapter in the Bible or whatever. It's being devoted to Jesus, giving him your whole heart and not allowing any, being vigilant to not allow anything else to eclipse that or to overcome that, being devoted to him in such a way that when you make decisions, you actually pray to him and ask him what he thinks about them, no matter how big or how small they are, being devoted to him in such a way that, that when you think about your life and his word, you want the two to match up. Hmm. And that is what I think we're missing. We're missing that devotion. And James is going to call us in his book to that kind of devotion, to living in such a way where we set Christ in front of us. See, the Bible tells us to follow Jesus. But what oftentimes happens is we run ahead of Jesus and we look back and go, Jesus, you're going to catch up, man? I got some good ideas.
Yeah.
Instead, Jesus is to be ever in front of us because we're following him. And the difficulty with following him, as I already said, Mark, is I have to examine my own self and realize and admit and repent of the fact that oftentimes I don't like Jesus's way because I think mine is better. I don't like what Jesus wants to do because I think that there's a quicker, faster, and easier way. I don't like the way Jesus tells me to do something because when Jesus tells me to do that, life tends to be harder. I have to forgive people. I have to actually do difficult things. I have to actually love people that I really don't like that much. I actually have to see all of the things that I have as a gift from God, and maybe my job is to hold on to some of those, and maybe my job is to distribute some of those.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to live differently when I actually count the words of Jesus as the most important thing in my life. And suddenly that becomes harder. And that's the dividing line between I want to devote my life to Christ or I just want to do it. Because, listen, we just want to do devotions because devotions make us feel good. Oh, I read those words in the Bible today. Yay. Check that box. At the end of the year, I can tell people, you know, hey, I read the whole Bible in a year.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question, friends. Did you do the whole Bible in a year? Did you actually walk those words out of the Bible? You know, one of the things we've been doing as a family is in this time of quarantine, and now it's become a practice, is we get on Zoom with four generations of family. And so we get a family all over the state of Illinois. We get on there and we read through the Bible. We're working through the Old Testament. We're in the book of Deuteronomy right now. But we get on, and one day we start from youngest to oldest and then oldest to youngest, and we each just take a turn reading a portion of Scripture, and we're reading through the Bible together. And one of the things that as we're doing this that's coming to me is I'm going, oh, my gosh, I don't do this, some of this stuff. Like, some of this stuff I don't even think about. You know, and how many times in the book of Deuteronomy does God say, keep my commandments and statutes that it might go well with you?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, and make sure you teach your children and teach your children how to teach their children. Oh, my gosh, I don't do that either. But yet, one of the things that came to me that became so apparent as we were reading this together every single night, I'm going, man, I am so blessed by this. I'm blessed by this in a way that I've never been blessed by a Bible study, that I've never been blessed by preaching. You know why? Because the Bible tells us in Revelation, blessed is the one who reads these words aloud.
Mm.
You know, that one escaped me, because how many times do we take a priority of reading God's word aloud? We don't.
Right.
And see, that's another place where we have to examine ourselves, and we have to go, my gosh, you know, the God says that me reading his word aloud is going to be a blessing. I forgot about that. Oh, my gosh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I want to read your word aloud. Why? Because when you read his word aloud, then the people around you have to become hearers, and hopefully those hearers will become doers. That's what the book of James says. We keep coming back to that verse in the book of James, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Hearers and doers. Because I think that we've come to a place, unfortunately, Mark, where we are hearers only.
Mm-hmm.
We've become people who love good preaching, and we love to hear the word, and we're less inclined to do the word. And we need to do the word, because it's in doing the word that we give God the glory.
Well, we're going to be doing the word and reading the word and sharing the word each and every Friday as we launch into this book of James in the days ahead. So I hope you can join us at this time during Mark and Friends on Fridays with Pastor Jason Schiffo as we look at the book of James and find points of application for our lives. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.